from everyone here. You know, when you when somebody writes a book, or when he gets up here to have a topic, at least if he chose the topic, you always wonder what's he thinking? What is his purpose? What's his reason? Well, this morning I want to beat you to it, tell you right away what my purpose is, even though it appears like when I read the passage that it's not as clear. This morning, my heart wore this morning, very deeply in my heart, was the fact of maybe Acts 6:3 would be a good example of that. We need men today, and women, and children, and young people, of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Men of God is what we need today, and we're so lacking it, I believe, today. People believe that they're men of God and aren't men of God. Or maybe they are men of God, but so carnal that they barely make it in the kingdom of God. And I would just like to challenge each of us this morning to get real with God and get rid of those bad things in your life. Many things that people don't even see. And that's the thing I'd like to really bring out this morning. And let's turn to Ezekiel 22:30. There's one verse there in Ezekiel that maybe the thing that stuck out to me as I was thinking of this week, and I came across this verse in my devotions a while ago, and I just wanted to, Ezekiel 22:30. It says there, "And I sought for a man among them that he should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." And that verse is very similar to another verse that's written in Isaiah 58. It says in that verse, excuse me, Isaiah 59, I got that written wrong, I know it's 59. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. There was a lack, and the Lord looked down, he see this, he saw this. In Jeremiah, it's a very similar verse. And then in Psalms, it talks about the breach that was there, and Moses stood in that breach, into that gap. When we're thinking about this verse, we're thinking about the hedge. It talks about a hedge. And Job, remember the case of Job, when Satan wanted to get at Job, and God said, and then Satan accused God, he said, "There's a hedge around him." Sure, there's a hedge, and I love that hedge. I'm glad God made that hedge for us. But there's a hedge there in this case, and this is a slightly different example, but it tells us about a hedge. A hedge, as you look it up here, what the meaning really of it is, it's a wall, it's a protection, it's a barrier for his people to keep them from the world or whatever is around us, them. Ezekiel knew well about the walls because he knew the walls of Jerusalem, but at the time he's writing this book, he was actually in Babylon. The walls of Jerusalem are very impressive, tall, huge walls, or they were. And there's a few of them standing that are buried mostly. But as impressive as the walls of Jerusalem were, the walls of Babylon were absolutely impressive. In fact, it was one of the seven wonders of the world, the very walls of them. I'm just going to go into you to get your mind on walls and the gaps that are in the wall. The walls around Babylon were at least 50 to 85 foot wide. They don't know for sure, but they were enough by all historians to say that you could take a four-horse chariot and run and turn it around right on top of the wall. There's at least 150 foot tall, and again, by some examples, it was 300 foot tall. Absolutely immense walls. 41 miles long, at least that many miles long. These are the walls that protected the people in those days and from the enemy outside. Now, a chunk or a gap out of the wall was a very dangerous thing to have for those people because they lived by that. In our example, in the U.S., you know, they we don't have any walls in the true sense of the word, but the United States takes the attitude of having enough missiles and everything, and the ocean is a barrier of a certain kind. But the enemy would love to exploit its weakest point. And of course, its weakest point is a gap. There's where they would throw the ropes up with grapples and hooks to get up over, and ladders and things. Battering rams were designed to knock a gap in the wall. But there was one thing that would stop that. If there was somebody in the gap, They couldn't throw a ladder or a rope or anything in to grapple or do anything. Somebody needs to stand in the gap to defend the Church of Jesus Christ. Somebody needs to stand there somewhere. Lord used this very analogy and this example to describe the breach. In particular in Ezekiel's time, he used it, but he also was talking about us. For the moral and social and the disobedience of the moral structure of the people in those days. In just the previous verse, it talks about that in Ezekiel 22. It talks about that. I'm just going to read one verse there. It pops out here. And her prophets have dabbed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies. The people of the land have used oppression, have exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. That's what was going on in those days. And it was written, this particular chapter was actually written in the sunset of the Israelite kingdom. And it was never quite the same, or at least the very first kingdom. There was, after you got back from Babylon, there was a kingdom of sorts. I believe today we're at the very same crucial time in the Christian churches. You know, today many people don't believe in the inspired Word of God. I read an article yesterday, and it said, it's just an example of this. It's talking about the question of was there a historical Adam and Eve, and it said, this is how that this person read it. I believe in the historical Adam and Eve, but I believe in the inspired Word of God, and the inspired Word of God was poetry. That's minimizing and reinterpreting and making all meanings minimal besides what they were obviously meant. But even closer, we have the divorce among the Christian church and the marital strife and the broken promises and the bankruptcies and the moral defeat and the lack of the fruit of the Spirit that's so prevalent in the Christian churches, people believing in this. There's a dearth of having the Spirit of Jesus, like I talked about at the beginning, how that we need people full of the Holy Spirit and power. So this verse is really, really relevant for us today. We need men and women to stand in the gaps that Satan has used his battering rams to come against this great wall that the Lord has put around people. And it says here the reason for that is for the land. In other words, for the sake of the land. And that's sort of interesting because the land of Canaan was a special thing for the existence of Israel. It was a place. It was a thing that you called home. Or it was the place. And the Lord spoke to Ezekiel and to Jeremiah, and for that matter, Isaiah, how that he was going to cleanse the land. He said, you know, the land is so bad, and he talked about the land, not the people necessarily, but I think it was included there. He said it was polluted, and there's no way to get rid of this pollution that was in the land, that it seemed like you couldn't redo the people or do anything about it. It had to be totally taken over. And so the Lord brought the king of Babylon, the Babylonian Empire, against the Israel and Judah. And he told them this, it was kind of interesting. He said, well, first of all, he said, it's because of your idol worship and because of the things we talked about, especially it was idol worship, but there was all these things I read about a minute ago. He gave this somewhat strange instruction, in my opinion, because he told the people that if you let the Babylonians come and take over the land and you live there and you subjugate yourself to the people and you live with the Babylonians over you, everything will be all right. You just go ahead and plant your gardens and things and everything. I'm not sure he wasn't talking about Jerusalem in that sense because it was going to be taken over too. But if you don't, terrible things will happen. Well, terrible things did happen because the people did not listen to that. At first they somewhat did and they didn't. And the Babylonians came in and they destroyed Jerusalem absolutely, positively destroyed everything, took all the gold and silver, and the people were killed and persecuted and hauled off into Babylon. And actually, I want to say that the Lord had said that they would be, maybe some of them, taken to Babylon, even so, but they would live there in peace. And it worked, because 70 years they were in this period, a lifetime. He got rid of the people's bad things in their life. A generation went by, maybe two generations went by, and people forgot about how that they could serve Satan like they did. And they were ready to serve the Lord after that. It was cleansed. Land was cleansed. And so it is today for the land today. I'm not likening it to necessarily to Babylon coming right now. I'm more talking about the metaphor, the example of the land. The kingdom of God on earth, the church of Jesus Christ, is the land. So, will you stand in the gap for the land, for the kingdom of God? Cleansed, in our land today, there's idol worship, there's pleasure worship. The distinction between Christians and the world is really murky at best for many Christians, and often it's completely non-existent. The world whirls around us today, all of you people, for me, and it takes a great effort to give God the priority that he needs. But you absolutely have to do that. The Lord's not going to take second priority. So the Lord is looking today for somebody to stand in the gap. Not just one. There's a lot of gaps. He wants every one of you to stand in the gap. And my challenge today is, who's going to stand in the gap? You know, sometimes we preach a sermon that how God really cares for us, and we feel lonely and so forth, and there's a time for that. Today I want to teach the concept of you need to take some courage. You need to do something. We need some action. We need somebody to stand in the gap. So young people, are you the person to stand in the gap? You know that there is a lot of evil in this world today. There is evil. It's a terrible lot of evil. And it's almost, I believe, the time that it talks about in Revelation, it says that Satan is encamped around the saints. He's so tight around the saints that there is, when the Lord comes, will he find faith on the earth? So young people, I want to talk to the women and to the men too, but do you have faith? Do you by faith, for instance, view your parents' faith and the elders? Maybe you don't understand everything, but seeing the conviction and accepting it, because you see the wisdom that comes through years, and it's the wisdom that comes from these. Do you seek the power of God through your personal devotions and your fellowship with believers, growing and preaching the gospel like the Bible teaches us to do? Do you seek to overcome the carnal nature that you're born with, so that you're capable of standing in the gap? And mothers, do you stand in the gap, defending the church and the kingdom of God by your word and action? You know, mothers have a very important place. You remember the story that my dad says, I think you remember the story, how that he says that his mother, grandpa, died when my dad was 16 years old, but there were five children younger than he was yet. Some just 2 or 3 years old. So mom, my grandmother, she was a very strong woman. She was somebody that could stand in the gap. But she was courageous. She wasn't mincing no words. He says that one time, several times, they had a huge bonfire and it was hot and people had to get away from the fire. It was too hot. And she said, I want to tell you, children, that's exactly how hell's going to be. If you don't stand true to the word of God, and if you don't stand true, that's exactly where you're going to go. She minced no words about that, and praise the Lord for her. All of her children, as far as I know, grew up to be, even though going into areas which probably wasn't the best, they still all had a testimony for the Lord. And your actions, mother, by giving of yourself, your children learn more from your example than from your words. How do you do in hospitality and in helping, in being willing to help? You know, maybe it's somebody else. The suggestion is it's somebody else's turn to host today, or something like that. But I want to remind you, you're not working for man. You're not working for the church necessarily. You're working for God. He's your employer. He's the one that's between you and him. Do you want to be blessed? Women, are you displaying the immeasurable beauty that comes from a Christ-like spirit like it talks about in Peter? In the sight of God, it's a precious thing inside of God, it says. Women, are you helping your husbands to be men of God and not a hindrance? For sure not. And so also, men, we need men of God. And this applies to men, women, and children, everybody, of course, but especially I'm right at the first here about men. Doesn't matter if you're a leader or if you're not a leader. Do you stand in these last days? Are you one of these that talks about in Ephesians 6, men that having done all to stand, stand now, girt with truth and armored with righteousness, salvation, and peace? That comes back to the purpose I talked to you about at the beginning. Do you really, truly have the Spirit of God in your life? Or are there things in your life, and you maybe you've done it so many times, so habitually, that you end up not even knowing that this is happening in your life? Are you willing to give checking into this? I'd like to know, and I think many of you would too, what is going on in the churches today with everything? I have to wonder, what's going on with these indispensable, in other words, you can't do without these virtues. Are there huge gaps in our armor of salvation? For instance, do we declare salvation? We're saved, but severely lacking in humility and the Spirit of God. Are people able to speak to you, or they wouldn't dare talk to you because you don't receive them? That's not the Spirit of Jesus. We don't believe that we should fight, but yet we do in our actions, whether silently or mentally or whatever. We say that love is the greatest thing, but we hold grudges. It just amazes me that when I talk to some people, the grudges that they held, and they have no idea. They believe they're Christians, but they hold these grudges. And I have to think of the Spirit of God. Is that the Spirit of God? We don't judge yet condemn the slightest little offense that has happened against us. You know, the Bible teaches us that love will cover a multitude of sins. But no, we want all these sins out. We want people to know about it. We want to get revenge on these people that have sins against us. Sure, sins cannot be hidden in any place. They need to be brought out if they're sins. But if there's a lot of stuff that are not necessarily sins, but they can be made sins by your actions or by insisting that they are. You know, the neglect of ourselves, our humility, our submission to the will of God. Do we say, "Search me, O God, and see if there's any wicked way within us"? You know, it's not the gross sins I'm talking about. I'm talking about the little sins, even a little. The Bible says that all unrighteousness is sin. And I believe today that all of the things that are happening in the churches, the Anabaptist churches, and all the churches of the world today, you know, it isn't a lot happening in the other churches today because all they have to do is they just have to attend the church and immediately go back out the door. There's no accountability. There's no reconciliation, doing nothing. But the Anabaptist churches especially are troubled because they want to have a close fellowship, and they recognize each other's, and they're not willing to overlook each other. I believe that all the trouble would go away if we would clothe ourselves with the Spirit of Jesus. Sure, there's people coming into the churches that are just partial Christians and need building up, but there's some old ones there that need to be told to clothe themselves with the Spirit of the Lord. You know, the sad reality is today that men and women have a form of godly, but they're completely unaware often that there's a huge gap in their armor, huge holes in their Christian character. Today, I hope that we are brave enough to look deeply in our own life and actually let Jesus in our life to look at it. But you know that Jesus isn't going to come and talk to you. Do you know who would really come and talk to you? It's one of your brethren. Comes to you. Many people just reject that idea. They don't want to be accountable to anybody. They don't want, they're independent. Nobody can tell me what to do, or if they do, they came in the wrong way, or they did this, or they did that. But if you want to have the Spirit of Jesus in your life, allow one of Jesus' servants to look at it, and truly let him look at it. Also, a thing that we've often repeated, and I can't not say this and not talk about this, is the life-changing thing about prayer in your life. To ask daily for the Holy Spirit. Do you really, really ask the Holy Spirit in your life to change you what you ought to be, and to look at it and sincerely mean it? You know, the one verse that I read here talking about intercessory prayer, how that it says that, is there, let me see, where was that? That was in, I think that was in Jeremiah, talked about the Lord was looking, is there anybody to intercede? Is there anybody to intercede? Do you know that the Lord's will not be done? I repeated this, repeating what I've said before. Lord's will won't be done on the earth unless his people intercede, unless there's people to stand in the gap. You know, it says that he couldn't find a man to stand in the gap. Well, why didn't the Lord stand in the gap? Because that's not the way he does things. He wants his people to stand in the gap. It doesn't get done unless you do it. So you need to intercede. Don't think your intercessory prayer is not valid or effective, because it really, really is. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, whether you see it or not. If you're righteous, if your Spirit of the Lord is really working in your life, that is truly the case. Are you praying for the Christians in Nigeria? Do you read the papers on it so that you can be informed of it, and so that you can be as one in bonds with those in Burma and Sudan and all those places? Or pray for the churches, the wickedness of the churches actually in the United States. Do you pray for them? I sometimes get so upset that I just think, well, this is terrible, and forget completely to pray for them. Let's pray especially for our precious Anabaptist churches. You know, they've been given a special gift. And yet, so often, these gifts are the things we focus on and forget about some of these very important faith. Above all, it says charity. And it's often very lacking and don't even recognize it. Let's pray for the Christians everywhere, not just our own people, but especially. And let's pray for the rulers. This is standing in the gap. If you're not doing this very diligently and effectively, you're not standing in the gap like you should be. And it says, in everything give thanks. Don't ever start a prayer without giving thanks. Thank you. Thank you, tell the Lord. I'm just about finished here. I'd just like to tell you that I want to thank you for the prayers when I've gone to Trout Creek, and I've talked to you brethren about this, and I feel that your support and everything's behind it. I just want to tell you that it's the church who makes the difference. It isn't me or the other ministers or anything like that. It's you interceding. It's you behind the scenes. Bible teaches us that if more than one agree on a certain thing, that the Lord will look at that specially so. So this is a terrifically important place for you as a church to do this. You know, in the closet, unnoticed by anyone, your reward is in heaven by an all-seeing God who sees everything. You know, us leaders, we're not in the closet. We're out sort of in the open, and maybe that's all our reward. I hope not. I don't believe that. But a reward is probably no greater than what your one is in the closet all by yourself, nobody knowing anything about it. You're changing the kingdom completely unnoticed. And that's exactly what the Lord wants. He wants somebody that's doing it for him, not for the person sitting beside you or anybody else. He wants you to intercede between you and him. He's the one that's going to give you a reward. He's the one that's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. So this morning, I want to just close this service with just telling you this morning and reviewing again my purpose behind this. Men of honest report, how terribly we need that. how lacking it is in the world today. Men are full of the and women and children and young people, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, men of God in every way. That is what we need this morning, to stand in the gap, those gaps that come in the defensive wall of the Christian churches, the walls of this church, the walls of other churches who so badly need help and need this in their lives. I'm totally convinced that if our spirituality decreases down to less than half, and of course in the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was 10 people out of, I don't know, maybe 20, 30, 40,000 people. That if we don't have that many, there's no use in having church. You might as well close the door, because it doesn't work. We need men of God standing in the gap. I just want to repeat that over and over to you this morning. I'm going to close with that. Other those with testimonies, something that you'd like to say at this time?